There is so much to talk about on Pesach, and you know, to get ready and to add so many moving parts that the entire Chelik Hay of Mishneh Berurah is Hilchos Yontif, Simchol Moed, but the large portion of that a sixth of the book and a large portion of that fifth book of Mishneh Berurah is dealing with Pesach. And that's just the laws. Now, of course, a lot of us don't bake our own matzahs, you know, and modern technology has made certain things a little less practiced. Our walls don't necessarily need to be scraped down as much as they did anymore. You know, the floor, having paved floors also makes a very, very big difference. But still, there's a lot to talk about, both in terms of the material preparations, and of course the mental preparations, because the idea of Pesach is to feel this newness and freedom. We just walked right into Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So as I've told you before, Rav Kook has a Jew haiku for every one of the months for 3 years running. They wrote it on the yeshiva's fundraising calendar. You gotta go with it. So for each one of the yeshiva put out a calendar for 3 years running, he wrote a haiku, a little two liner, and one year was an acrostic about the essence of the month. And one of them is that Nisan will always remain for us Aviv Shel Kol HaOlam Kulo. That is the springtime of the entire world. To feel that springtime, I feel like it was there's a song from the late 60s, early 70s about the springtime of our lives. But the sunshine of our, right? I'm hearing the guitar in the background, and I'm just like, springtime of our lives, sunshine. That's the same idea. The equinox has changed. We're getting more light in. Right? We've moved into the winter is over. And you hear the words of King Solomon, Shlomo Melech, where he says, "Kumilach rayati yafatiya ulechilach hine hastav avar hageshem halach lo hanitanim niru ba'aretz." He says, "Come, my beloved, the fall is gone, and the winter, the rainy season, is over. The small flowers are beginning to be seen, and the voice of the tour." The voice of the turtle dove is heard once again by Arzeno. That there's a springtime of the entire world. And when we touch that Geula energy, right, the redemptive energy, that which made us free people and made our spirits free people, that no matter what would transpire over the last 2,000 years, or even more, the last 3,000, 4,000 years, but specifically the exile we're dealing with the last 2,000 years, that we would remain free people. No matter what the circumstance would throw at us, the spirit would always remain free. And on Pesach, we come back to it and reacquaint ourselves. We sort of bring our bodies and our minds into what the soul is doing all the time. Sort of like linking it up, moving it b'chivun to a hatim. To sort of match it up and to connect in that way, to connect to that deep part of that part of ourselves which is always free. And it's about achieving a knowledge. It's about achieving a mindset also. It's not, Soloveitchik focused very, very strongly on the idea of kiyum shebelev, how the mitzvos are also performed, and not just, you know, physically, but also that they're intellectual and emotional states which the mitzvahs are also supposed to engender in their performance. Meaning, it's not just eat the matzah. Eating the matzah is important. It's a mitzvah from the Torah. It's probably one of the only biblical mitzvahs of eating that we have currently. Despite the fact that there's a whole bunch of mitzvahs to eat things in the Torah, but the only biblical performance of eating is eating the matzah. The mitzvah asei d'oraisa. But not just eating the matzah. The entire accomplishment of the night is to feel as if we left. as if we left Mitzrayim on that night. We hearken back to it, but it becomes a reality. And if you look carefully throughout the year, there are many, many mitzvahs that are performed cueing back into this headquarters of this experience. There's this experience of the Seder which we're trying to cue into and feel this freedom. And the precursor to this, of course, is our ongoing struggle with leavening agents, right? The ongoing struggle against chametz, the preparation that we do, and that's the beginning, that we need to be able to confront chametz. That's that's why besides buying the meat is also our war against chametz in the in our houses. What's interesting is that when we talk about chametz, it's just the fermentation of grains. What's a, as they would say in Hebrew, ma big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? So grain ferments. Why are we so like, as they'd say, fahitz about it? Why are we so excited about it? What's wrong? Why are you so like bothered by chametz? What's wrong with it? So first, I'll share with you Gemara. And this is part of where we sort of establish, like, you think about it, on one hand, you can take it from mitzad achukiyut, from the chok nature of it. Like they say, it's what the king said to do, and that's where, we're good servants, and that's it. But ad kidei kach, like, that might work for paraduma, which is the one that the Midrashim wax about its unknowable nature. But this is more than just getting sprinkled with a little bit of red cow juice over here. This is something which requires a great deal of effort. There's a funny story that they tell that there was a whole convention of paratzes. Right, they got together and they're bragging about who's mashka, who's Jew was the best mashka. Was the best Jew, and so they're but tov leiv ha'melech b'yayin, that they were all fashekered a bit, and they were telling each other, I have the best Jew, I have the best Jew, and one of them says, you know what, I have the best Jew, because you know what, if I would tell him to convert, he would do it for me. And the other parts were very, very impressed. They said, come on, what are you talking about? The Jews love their religion, they would never do that. No, my Jew, he calls him over, he says, Mashka, come over here. He says, Mashka, I know how devoted you are to me, how well you've served me. I need you to do something for me. I need you to convert. And he says, I can't do that. He's like, Mashka, either you do that or I'll more than kill you. I didn't know what to do, but he'd seen the parts kill people before. And he succumbed. So he walked around Moshka, he shmadded. And he was very, very upset about it, walking around. And then Mrs. Paritz then turns to Paritz and says to him, it's not nice. I know you were drunk with your friends and you want to win a bet. But Moshka, he loves his religion. Let him be Jewish again. And he says to Mrs. Paritz, you know what, you're right. You're right, I was carried away. So he goes over and says, Moshka, I got a little carried away. I got a little drunk. I'm sorry, you can be Jewish again. So Moshka turns to him and says, thank you very, very much. But next week is Pesach. That's a lot of cooking and cleaning. Can I be Jewish in 2 weeks? I'll be Jewish in 2 weeks, right? There's a great deal of effort. And, we don't deny it, but at the same time, as Pirkei Avos tells us, commensurate with the effort is the reward. Not just the reward, I'm hoping that, Kadosh Baruch Hu will give me mitzvah tickets in Shemayim, but you only ever get out of a mitzvah what you put into it. You want to, any experience as a whole, and especially mitzvahs bifrat, you want to get something out of any mitzvah performance, the only way you're going to get it is if you invest in it also. And there's different investitures. Of course, there's time and there's capital. And there's also in terms of the preparation that we do. in terms of thought. So what is this chametz stuff? We have to dig a little deeper. So I'll share with you a Gemara first, which is really, really fantastic. To Gemara Maseches Brachos, in which the discussion is about, you know, what are the tefillos that we say? How do we end Shemoneh Esrei? And one of those tefillos is, Kadosh Baruch Hu Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Ratzoneinu La'asos Ratzoncha. So we really want to do your will, but what's wrong? What holds us up? One of the things is Sa'or Shebe'isa, the leavening in the bread. The leavening in the bread? What, you have celiac? You're gluten free now? What's going on over there? What do you mean that leavening in bread holds us back? So Farshim explain, Rashi explains that what does it mean, the leavening in bread? This is the Yetzer Hara. And lest you think it's just to be a vart, that chametz is representative of the Yetzer Hara, representative of the thing which sours inside of a person, the Radbaz. Radbaz was a serious shelus tshuvos, and he writes in a tshuva that in his mind, this is pashut pshat. This is the simple meaning, chametz means Yetzer Hara. Now chametz, of course, also just means chametz. So when we start to think about chametz, what makes it so Yetzer Hara dik? Like what is this? Why do we make the equation? Why do Chazal make this equation as say, so yes, it's definitely simply chametz is the Yetzer Hara. You've probably heard the Shmuz before. Everyone's heard the Shmuz before. This is one of the famous comparisons. And with everything, it behooves us in our Judaism to start to ask, like, why is that? Because when we just sort of leave it, we just say, yeah, this equals that. Until somebody says, but why? You're like, well, because it's simple. It's just chametz is the Yetzer Hara. What do you mean? This is what we said, and that's what they told me, and that's what we do, and that's it. And we have lived happily ever after. What about chametz makes it a Yetzer Hara? So one idea is as follows. The the process of fermentation of the dough is that the dough takes on a mind of its own. If anyone's ever left challah in your kitchen for too long, right, you put it, you mix all the stuff together, a little bit of yeast, a little bit of flour, water, right, eggs, oil. Our secret, it's called ingredient in the Bashnak home actually is Trader Joe's oat milk. The maple oat milk is one of my wife's favorite things to add into it. She tells everybody it's her secret ingredient, so it's not that much of a secret. But that's her secret ingredient. That is this Trader Joe's oat milk. Otherwise, we'll use almond milk. Give it just a little bit more of a taste. So you put it in the bowl. Walk out of the kitchen. Come back in 3 hours. You'll find the bowl is gone out of the big mixing bowl, down all the way on the counter, down the whole wraparound counter. Like, what just happened? It's like that old movie, The Blob. Like, what just happened? It came and just spread over everything. Well, that's part of the essence of chametz. Well, of course, in Judaism, growth is a good thing. That's an important thing, the idea of growth and to progress. There's time and space for everything. And here, this dough, this overflowing dough, is puffed up. It's more than it actually is, because you give it a good schmeitz, right? Anyone ever hit the dough after? So whack it, all of a sudden the whole thing retracts back in. Like, what just happened? It's like something out of Fantasia. Like the brooms with the water and the piece of the dough that came over, they get a whack it, all of a sudden it's just like deflates. Matzah, like Rabbi Leibowitz was saying a little bit last week, is the bread is known by the Zohar as Michel de Meimnusa. It's called the bread of Abimuna because it's pashut, it's simple. Whether you're Sephardic and you eat the lafa style matzahs, or you're Ashkenazic and you eat the cracker matzahs, still it stays. You go, you have the dough, and it doesn't rise. You throw it into the oven just as fast as you can. That's that if you've ever seen a matzah factory, the amount of matzahs that they can make in 18 minutes, like, wow, that's bread in such a short amount of time. If you've ever seen them move it in a matzah factory, they have a huge amount of matzah in that little amount of time. It's fast. You just go, what's it called? It's a vaser, you know, water, the flour, and they go, and then it goes to each table. Tegel! I never, by the way, in my life knew what a tegel was. It's only because my grandmother used to make teglach, like little, right? The honey covered little dough balls that I realized they're saying tegel. What's a tegel? Oh, it's a little, it's a dough ball. A dough ball, it's about the size of like a basketball. But tegel! Yeah, this little ball, bigger than anyone I've ever seen. The bees used to congregate outside of my mom's window when she would cook the honey for the teglach. And she would melt the honey, she would cook it, and it would be like a swarm of bees out of the second floor window. You would see them still like hovering around over there. It was like crazy stuff. It's like one of those Alfred Hitchcock movies. But it says a tegel. You take it, you roll flat, and it stays flat. It has absolutely no preoccupation or no mind of its own. It has no thoughts to be anything more than it is, just bread and water. Chametz gets all puffed up. You look at how it has delusions of grandeur. A matzah bleibt glatt. It just stays clean and normal and flat, and that's it. It just stays. And in this imagery, I've told you before that the Nazir's phrase that what we do is that we have a certain auditory logic in Judaism. We hear certain things. That's why the Gemara was always proving to you with this. Tashma, come in here. Come and listen. Come and listen. Listen carefully to this pasuk. Listen carefully and you'll see the connections. You'll perceive the connections between certain things. Tashma, listen. Listen closely. So you see these two phenomena and it becomes very, very clear to you that this, you know, is simplicity, and this is complexity. And it's not just complexity, you know, within a person, but the world goes like that also. The world becomes incredibly, incredibly complex as well. It gets increasingly complex and convoluted. So the Ishbitzer Rebbe, this is this one of the Ishbitzer Haggadah, I told you, besides making having five cups of wine. So he writes in this beginning, the Beis Yaakov of Ishbitz, he says that the world had the same issue. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that same idea of mixing water and dirt together, there's this imagery, this dough imagery of water and dust together. You sort of see this idea of challah, when we talk about the mitzvah of challah as well, you see this imagery, you hear the imagery of water and dust together, water and dirt together, and feeling there's a sort of challah of the entire world. So then the world went like that also. Kadosh Baruch Hu made Kadosh Baruch Hu is the baker of all bakers. If you remember that Far Side comic where you've got God in his apron taking the world in a pan out of the oven, and he says, "Oh no, I think this thing is only half baked." Right? I remember the Far Side, Gary Larson. No, okay, you can Google it later. I think this thing is only half baked. So, right? So that it's half baked. So God is the baker. The baker of bakers created the universe, and it didn't exactly go according to plan. It became chametz thick. It became chametz thick. The entire world became chametz thick. The entire world sort of took on a mind of its own. On one hand, that was part of the plan. On the other hand, things went in a very, very different direction than was intended. The 20 generations from Adam HaRishon until Avram Avinu all became chametz tzedek. They all became chametz tzedek. Hashem said, "Okay, I'm putting you in the world. You should enjoy the world, but you know there's a Dvar Hashem. There's an ethical code." They didn't listen. And the disaster of Parshas Bereishis and Noach, right, are all details. He frames this is all chametz tzedek. The whole thing became chametz tzedek. It went out of control. It entertained ideas above its station, as it were. And the world went off. So the idea, this comparison that Chazal saw, chametz, Yetzer Hara, it's not just a cute little vart. The idea is that we see that this is a consistent philosophy that extends throughout the Sefer. I'll tell you something also which is a little shocking. For the most part, the Beis HaMikdash was chametz free. Right? It was Pesach all year. Two things. The korban of the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos and some of the Lach Metoda of Chametz Dik. But besides that, everything else in the Beis HaMikdash was all Pesach Dik all year round. Imagine that. They didn't need a second kitchen. They didn't have to sell anything. Nothing, right? And anything which was chametz had to be eaten before you know, if it's lach meitoda, needs to be eaten within a day, or burnt. It's chametz they go year round. Why is that? It's the same idea. Part of the idea of Pesach is that we're trying to inculcate a certain awareness. I was this awareness of simplicity, of to be taken in, going back to that beginning of our essence, which is that freedom. Life is full of chametz, of things that went sour, of opportunities that didn't go right. The idea of chametz being something that spoils, because that's also, to a certain extent, that's the way that it works. The grain spoils, and it's machmetzet. Because chametz also comes the same, it's cognate to the word chamutz, right? It's sour. And chamutzim, that's pickles, right? It becomes sour, something goes wrong. And it starts to entertain this idea. And life is filled with these frustrations and these tragedies. So on Pesach, though, we want to come back to a certain sense of simplicity. And in that simplicity, to be able to be like it says at the Seder, Kan HaBen Shoel. Here the son asks. It's a Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, here the son asks, here the child asks. That there's a certain lack of sophistication that we touch it. And in our lives, we want to sort of flip between the dialectic, between, on one hand, to use our intellectual capabilities as much as we can, and at the same time to have a, to look at it as they call in mindfulness or in Zen, to come with beginner's mind. Beginner's mind means that everything is new again. Right? Everything is filled with the spring, right? It's filled with this, the feeling of spring again. Israeli folk song, right? Simcha Rabbah, Aviv Yigia Pesach Ba. Right? Why so enthusiastic about the spring? It's just a cycle. It happens every year, right? And then we have to mow the lawn, mow the lawn and spray for bugs and all the other different things. Well, why am I so excited? The world's coming back to life, and there's a bracha about it also, that we make the bracha of Birkat Ilanot, Birkas Ilanos, that you go, and the Gemara says you go out in the month, specifically in the month of Nisan, and you go, you see fruit trees flowering. You make a bracha, thanking God for creating such a beautiful cycle of nature. That this cycle is here for us. This is here for us to enjoy. To come back to this newness again, and this enthusiasm again. And that's part of what Pesach is all about. To come back to that feeling. So as a result, we need to purge the chametz. We need to purge anything that went wrong, that went sour. And therefore, so that's what the cleaning is all about. Baruch Hashem, that we live at a time that we can all afford multiple sets of dishes, right? That in truth, the reason why there was a lot of kashering that used to go on more used to be, Kingsway, I think they still do. They have Rabbi Yah, or a woman. He should have be gesund and stark. He should be healthy and well. That you would stand with this huge pot of water boiling, of a community koshering, and koshering all the different dishes, all the different pots and pans. Nowadays,
the dishes have to give certain
material. Absolutely, dish, right? That's correct.
That's being the easiest.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, there has to be metal, possibly hard plastics, possibly hard plastics. Has to be certain things, but back in the day, so people would kasher, have to kasher their, they kasher their whatever they had. Nowadays, we don't have to, for the most part, we don't have to kosher. Save maybe a Keurig, the most things we kosher now are the big things. Stoves and sinks and microwaves. Those are the majority of things that we kosher. But imagine having to kosher all these different vessels, right? And thinking about it, and not having enough glasses, so then having to come up with a way to kosher glasses to the Ashkenazim, the chumra about glass. So what they would do is they would leave glasses with water for 3 24-hour consecutive periods. Ashkenazim and their glasses like that. Nowadays it's so easy, you know. For the most part, we'll just buy something new, and you build up your Pesach collection over time, as we know. You know, every year say, oh well, what are we going to buy this year for Pesach? What's the other thing that you're going to get? The coffee pot was too small. I've been using the same coffee pot. I don't know, probably for about 10 years. It holds 5 cups. 5. Maybe even 3 cups, whatever it is. It's like a tiny coffee pot. I'm like, I think we've reached the point where it's time for a new coffee pot. But I can drink the entire little pitcher of coffee myself, like in the morning. Exactly. So to go and to kasher all the kalim, there was this idea that, and there still remains this idea for the rest of the kashering we do. Is the idea of in halacha we call kibolo kach polto. The way it goes in is the way it comes out. So however, if we apply a dry heat to something, so the only way to kosher it out is with dry heat. Hence, you're in an oven, then Hashem, I'll send out my handy dandy koshering guide on a page. But you use a dry heat, right? You either self clean or put it on high, or something uses a wet heat, so you have a pot which is boiling. Right, so you have a huge soup pot, you want to kosher that, you need to fill it with water and then make the water overflow over the edge, because why? Anything that got in there was through heat and wet taste going in that way. The way it goes in, the way it comes out. There's this idea of trying to get all of the chametz out. Why? So we can start again. And start over again, and as a result, that's what the entire point of all of the bedikas chametz. We nowadays again we do this all in stages, but the idea was is originally people would first clean the house, and nowadays all we necessarily need to do is you don't have to clean behind the refrigerator. You're not going behind the refrigerator. Don't clean behind the refrigerator. Right, you're not going behind the couch to I need a rug law. Quick, move the couch. Nobody's doing that. So it's always nice to clean, but not at the expense of our mental health, because we gotta be in the zone for the Seder. Yeah, I know the people are ingrained in this, but they would want to try to be. I have the same issue. Believe me, I'll try but I feel like I need to do this, but we don't, and people just ask me on the chat, and I told them not to, but I want to do this. So I'm like, there's only so much you can argue, but we understand this is not the halacha. The halacha is that all we have to do to prepare, we vacuum. Check the pockets of something you have a coat. Make sure you didn't leave your lollipops in there. Lollipops might be Albert's hour. Make sure you didn't leave a Rugla or some crackers.
That's a stupid question. What about cars?
So car, you should clear, vacuum your car. Now you don't have to again. Wait a second, I need a Rugla. Get me a donut.
Oh, it's in there.
you'll have Cheerios, but remembering that you're looking for a kazak. Yeah, you have a kazayah. So if you vacuum, you just vacuum the things around.
I have to scrape that car out.
you ever been to Oakley's for the Pesach special? I think it's like $100 now.
So we have
you see the article from the representative? I forgot which one she said. They're gonna put the car washes on notice. They can't price
it. No, they can't grab it. I have a Talmud who comes by and what's it called for something fair. It's not like insane, but something fair. He'll come and what's it called and clean everything out. The idea being, what are we pursuing? We're pursuing that part that went wrong, that went sour, that went bad. So I saw something that's fantastic. It's not in this one. It's a little bit in this. And again, I can't help but show you some of my treasures while we're doing a little bit of show and tell. This is the Torah Bereket Mimakor Chaim. He was a student of Rechaim Vital was one of the prime students of the Arizal. And he's a student of Rechaim Vital, and he lived in Aleppo. So anyone who knows Halabi, Aleppo has friends or family members. This is a musical. This is part of the sages of Aram Soba of Aleppo. He wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, which goes through the custom. Here's some of his customs in Aleppo, but also some of the hints. In what we call Pnimius Torah, the hidden dimension of Torah, different ethical imperatives that will come out of all the different halachos. So for his the section on Bedikas Chametz, he quotes this idea. I saw it also in the Neos Desha, was the son of the first Ishbitzer Rebbe. He says something really, really fantastic and stunning. It's a stunning teaching. It goes like this, that when we make the bracha for Bedikas Chametz, right, on the night of the 14th, Erev of the 14th, right, or La Arbasar, the night of Erev Pesach, the night before Erev Pesach. What happens is we do Bedikas Chametz, and what we do to start off is we make a bracha. When you think about it, you say, wait a minute, something is a little weird about this. I'm going to make a bracha on Bedikas Chametz. Okay, so what's the actual mitzvah that I'm doing? Especially because I'm not really destroying the Chametz. I'm destroying the Chametz the next day. It makes more sense to make a bracha when I throw the Chametz into the fire the next day, or I abandon it. You know, or I take the garbage and leave it out, and as the garbage truck comes for the utensil for the domestic pickups, right? So as the garbage truck comes by, you make the bracha and say kol chamira as they pick up your can and throw it in, right? You say, some of the really intense individuals ask the garbage man, can I throw the bag into the garbage truck myself, so I can do the mitzvah myself and then make the bracha? Why isn't it that we make the bracha at the very, very beginning? The sun sets. I'm not burning this chametz for at least another 12 hours or so, and yet I make the bracha, and the language of the bracha is even crazier. You would think that I'm checking for chametz, so what bracha should I make? Al bedika chametz. Makes sense. Al bedika chametz. I'm about to check the chametz. Before I do any mitzvah, I make the bracha on the mitzvah that I'm doing. Right? Right? Livdok es hachametz, al bedikas chametz, right? Any other mitzvah, that's what I do, right? I take challah, lahafrish challah min ha'isa, and I take off the challah. I go and I'm about to what's called light Hanukkah candles. I say lahadlik ner shel Hanukkah. That makes sense. I make the bracha asher kitchanu sasa v'tivani, who commanded us to do what? To destroy the chametz. It's a long time. You know, it's like, you don't want to make a hefsek, right? You understand? No. Like, I'm making a bracha upon the destruction of chametz. I'm not destroying any chametz right now. I'm walking around the house with a candle and a feather and a little paper bag. I'm scraping up a little altar cloth. You take the things, you put it into the little bag, right? The feather was apparently back in the day. Used to like try to get into the little cracks with somehow or another that you got pieces of your donut in the crack in the wall. Like how to get there, we don't know. Let's like, right? There's the same thing with the car. I guess you better use a feather in the car, so in between the seat and the console. That's what you use your little feather for. I just try to scrape, get it out over there. But somebody said to Ramaz, I forget who it was, but it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. He says, the idea of the feather is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised you that I'll take you, I'll kanfei nesharim, on eagle's wings. I'll take you to me on eagle's wings. So the feather is reminiscent of that I'll take you to me on eagle's wings. It's a beautiful idea. But, so sitting there, I'm not destroying any chametz. I'm finding it and putting it in a paper bag with my feather and my wooden spoon. To make the whole process last longer, try to move a piece of bread with a feather onto a wooden spoon and then carry it to a paper bag, right?
Do we really have to use the feather and the wooden spoon?
Nope. Nope. But it's like the Olympics, right? Right,
they did that on the clock many years ago.
Yeah. Too.
I carry it in my hand and I just grab the piece.
Absolutely, it still works. Yeah. But so what's up? Why am I saying I'll be your chametz? And it's even crazier also. So we put out bread. There's a minhag Yisrael to put out bread. But technically speaking, even if there wasn't any bread, you'd still make this bracha. You didn't put out any bread, you'd still make this bracha. And that's even wilder. We do it because, you know, it's another funny story that they tell, you know, a pretty serious yeshiva man, yeshiva guy, and he's walking somewhere or another, and all of a sudden a guy comes out of the alley and says, "I'm going to kill you, Jew." So he what's it called? So he takes the knife, he's about to lunge, and he says, "Oh my gosh." And he screams at the top of the Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushas Asavit Tzivano Al Kiddush Hashem. The mugger, the attacker, is so startled, he runs off. And the guy's standing here, no, 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 I made the bracha, I don't want a hefsek, no. So we're going to stand there going, no, we make the bracha, I'll be your chametz. We're not burning for another 12 hours, right? I schmaltzed this point up enough, right? What are we doing? The idea is, and this is gorgeous, is that the process of Vedikas Chametz, you know, or in Bir Chametz, is almost, you know, Herculean. You know, in the physical parameters, okay, we can check the house. But in the spiritual parameters, of course, can we ever really, really rid ourselves of chametz? Is it really, you know, it's so hard. But we make the bracha with the promise that Kadosh Baruch Hu says that, yeah, don't worry, I'll help. That, you know, you will get there. And there's a beautiful idea in Drush, that this idea that, like, saying that, yeah. Now, you know, in halacha we say, well, once you've started the process, it's as if you've completed the process. That's the halachic answer. I started the process so I can. The process ends with the burning of the chametz, but you know, I searched it. I said I was mevatalat, so that's one as we say kiyum, one performance of the mitzvah by saying it. It's as if it's dirt, dust of the earth to me. But at the same time, you know, and I'll do a little bit more tomorrow also. But in Chassidus and Avoda, you know, in the ethical imperative within the reflection on my life about thinking, you know, an existential type of way, God promises us, yes, the perfection of oneself, looking for those things that went sour, looking for those things that went bad, that spoiled, that got chamidzdik spiritually, right? That I got puffed up about. It's hard work. I'm supposed to do that all the time for the Seder? That's just, don't worry. You're in the program, that's all you need. Get in the program, and it's as if you will count it, you'll make a bracha as if you did it. But you gotta stay in the program. That's like, on one hand, the spiritual precursor to the 12 steps is the Bres of Reb Pinchas Ben Yair, which is the teaching that the book Mesilas Yesharim, the Pathways of the Just, as they call it in English, I guess. Reb Moshe Chaim Luzzatto's ethical work, The Pathways of the Just. Something like that. Mesilas Yesharim, the pathways of the upright, whatever they call it. So the Braisa, is all based on the teaching of Pinchas Ben Yair, and he says that, you know, that zrizus, that alacrity, will lead to zahiris. That it's a program that says that each step you take will lead you to another good step, will lead you to another good step. Lead you to another good step. And ultimately, will lead you to Tchias HaMesim. It's unbelievable. Take one step, it'll lead you all the way down. So, it's along the same question. Why would you make such a connection like that? So as one of my rabbeim, Rav Cherny, says that he used to review a teaching that I believe it was from the Mir Rosh Hashiva, Rav Birnbaum, Alav Hashalom, right? Rav Birnbaum, Latal. So he said that if you notice that teaching of the Gemara, the problem is that you need to look three words before. That's always, anytime you get stuck in anything in the Gemara, look three words before or look three words after. Chances are your question, the answer to your question will be either three words before or three words after. After the statement that you're dealing with. So he says that there are certain averus that it's impossible for a person to overcome. So it's one of those things, it's like game over, so what am I trying for? Why bother if it's it's so set against me? And then the Gemara says, Mikan Amar Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. So, because over here, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says, we're going to set a program. And once you get on the program, yeah, there are certain things that the challenges are very, very hard. You get with the program, and the key is just be with the program. The program will take you, right? You just move along. That's why my rabbi used to say, this is the best of art in the face of the planet. This is the best idea. Because the idea is that I understand that I have my shortcomings, but I'm on the way. And so long as I'm on the way, there's no criticism of you for being on the, things are, there are, we have challenges, and challenges, the challenges that we have, they didn't take a day to create, and they won't take a day to solve. But when I have the patience for myself, I understand God has the patience for me. We declare it every morning that Hashem has faith in us. That Hashem is Rab Emunasecha, is faith in us. That He believes in us, that we can do it. So you get on the program, God says, okay, I see you're on the program. That's all you need. That's all you need. We'll get this together. We'll deal with this together. One day at a time. And that's the entire machshav behind the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Same idea. There will be challenges, and the idea is to take it one day at a time. I won't get to the end of the program immediately. It's a program. It takes time. And it's one day at a time. So similarly, it's all folded into this bracha. I'm making a bracha, I'll be your chametz. I'm making a bracha on the destruction of chametz. And, let's take this ad infinitum to really out there. I'm making a blessing on the destruction of the Yetzer Hara. No less, right? There are elements and shades of this. If you read the Yehi Ratzon that you say when you throw the chametz into the fire, that this should be your will, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that you should burn the Yetzer Hara and destroy it as well. Right. So you're making a bracha for the annihilation of evil in the world and all of man's evil desires to be destroyed. And we barely only started. We just vacuumed the floor. Vacuumed the floor and made sure there was no crumbs to catch. Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the halacha says, we'll count it as if you're on the program. So you make the bracha with the destination in mind, even though I know I'm not there yet. And it's a good bracha. And halacha dictates it's a good bracha. Because that's really, really what it's all about. As we go, and that's part of the entire idea. So on one hand, we know the physical mitzvah of bedikas chametz. And then we understand the spiritual ethical component of the mitzvah, of thinking about the removal of temptation and yetzahara in the world. And both of these seem like Herculean tasks. But Kadosh Baruch Hu guarantees to us, the halacha guarantees to us, that if you start on the program, you'll be able to do it. And then I just saw something beautiful again in Torah Barakas that he says that and therefore I could go it's so geschmack that when a person learns Torah and you see some ideas, they just make you smile and just say, wow, that's great. I didn't want to say when Rabbi Leibowitz was here, but on his Twitter profile there's a line that every time I see it, he gives me such chizuk, such encouragement. He writes, "Blessed to be a teacher of Torah." I'm like, wow, that's like, it's tremendous. So you can share great ideas like this, especially, all the different aspects of the job. But it makes it so unbelievable. So it says, a person can check many houses with one bracha. So Rabbi Chaim from Aram Tzoba says, then let's apply this. Play this idea, this word through. If I'm making the bracha saying that it looks like I have a Sisyphean task, a Herculean task, right? A seemingly impossible task. And yet, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're gonna count it as if I'm on the road, so as if it's done. It's not only just one house, even multiple houses. Not not just over here, but also even bigger and bigger tasks. Hashem Baruch Hu will bench you to be able to accomplish more and more and more, you know, as a person grows, the person matures, as opposed to the person becomes deeper in their understandings. It's gorgeous. That says, therefore, a person can check many houses with one blessing. Many, many vistas of my life. Many, many rooms, many, many houses. All one bracha. What's the bracha? You'll make it there. That was a Disney song. I'll be there someday. I can go the distance. Right? I can go the distance. I will eventually, I'll make it there. Because Baruch Hu should bench us to give us that tzlacha, to give us success in all the things that we're trying to accomplish. And to say, yeah, I'm on the program. I see the end in sight, even if it looks very, very hard. Hashem should bless us to please God, make it to the finish line.